Hi, I'm County Mayor Randy Porter, and you're listening to Today in Putnam County. Our show this week, it's about our Family Justice Center, and we're going to talk about October, which is Domestic Violence Month. I know that can be a tough subject to talk about, but it's a reality that we have to deal with in our county and across our country. My guests this week is Amy McBroom and Liz Shanks. They are with the Family Justice Center, and we're going to talk about some of these issues and what the Family Justice Center can do to help folks that are having these kind of problems. Amy, Liz, good to have you all on the show.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks, we're always Randy. Glad to be here.
We were talking earlier that, the Family Justice Center opened about 10 years ago. And you think about domestic violence and when we start talking about senior abuse and child abuse and all these kind of things that are happening, it's bad that those things are happening in our community, but they're in every community. But to have a system and a facility that can help folks when it comes to these issues, that's been key for our community, hasn't it?
I like to think so. I hope so. We can see a lot of progress in the ways that we're able to bring other partners in, new partners, and more people that are there to support our survivors of domestic violence and elder abuse and sexual assault and child abuse. But it's great to see the community come together, which was really the purpose of the Family Justice Center, to provide one place that someone who's experienced some violence can come, and then all the other community agencies, governmental, non-governmental, can surround them there in one place. And just, work to overcome some of those obstacles that they faced before there was a Family Justice Center.
And it was difficult before someone that was dealing with domestic violence or senior abuse or whatever, they'd go to one place for one thing, and then they'd send them to 10 other places to try to work through the system. And a lot of people would stop. They would get into the system with that first one and then said, this is too hard, I'm going to quit and go back into the abuse that they were in, and that's not the goal. We want those folks to get help, right?
Right, and it is overwhelming. So if you have somebody to walk through that with you, and provide that, when you're in a trauma space, then your mind doesn't work the same way that it does, when you're not. So to have somebody to do that, and then to know what resources are available, and then be able to coordinate those resources based on where you are in that situation.
And a Family Justice Center gives you that one stop. Once that victim comes to you, that's it. They're not going anywhere else. You're going to walk them through with all the agencies that they're in the Family Justice Center to help them with whatever their needs are, right?
Yes, and a lot of times there are follow-up appointments that they have with other agencies, but we can coordinate that system of care to some degree. And we have, for instance, Volunteer Behavior Health, we have an enhanced partnership now. They've always been a partner of the Family Justice Center, but they're going to provide some mental health and substance abuse services at the Family Justice Center. So you might still have to go to Plateau for follow-up care. But so we're trying to make it easier for them to just know one place to come and to feel more comfortable with it and make it more manageable. Not everything has to be taken care of, in one day.
Right.
But it's really hard to prioritize what you should do. And so I think that's one of the ways that we really are able to help people.
Having that place so that they can feel safe to know to come, though, makes a real difference. Liz, you joined the Family Justice Center here recently. How's things going?
Things are going wonderful. I started back in May, and Amy was gracious enough to take me in, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
You've been a great addition.
She's been a blessing to us, yes.
Yeah, we all know Liz from many years. And your family, and we're glad to have you. So let's talk a little bit about October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Talk about that and the things that are going to be going on with the Family Justice Center.
So just a few things that's happening in the local community and also in Overton County is we've got with local businesses, and they have, they're kind of like helping bring awareness to domestic violence. For instance, 11 Oak here in Cookeville, they've done a purple drink for us. It's called the Safe Haven. Also in Livingston, Livingston Nutrition, they are also doing it. Wired Coffee Company, also in Livingston, they're also doing a purple drink, all called Safe Haven. So go support those businesses. Heavenly Bites by Cora, she's doing purple cupcakes for us. And also Jamie's Eats and Sweets is also doing cupcakes for us. So support those local businesses because they are supporting us as well.
So we're calling it October the 23rd is called Purple Thursday?
Purple Thursday, yes.
It's not Tennessee Tech Purple Thursday.
No,
talking about for domestic violence awareness, right?
Yeah, so wear purple on October the 23rd just to bring awareness and just show people that you support those survivors of domestic violence.
It's hard to believe that I have a hard time wrapping my head around that we still have domestic violence issues and stuff going on, that not just here in Putnam County, but everywhere. That's sad, isn't it, that we have those issues and folks are still mistreating folks.
I wish I didn't have a job if it meant that we didn't have domestic violence, but it's really prevalent. 1 in 3 women will experience domestic violence in their life, and 1 in 7 men. I think I've seen 1 in 10 as well, but 23%, pretty consistently, of our clients are men. I don't know. I wish there have been a lot of efforts made to reduce the effects of domestic violence, and I think that those are having some effect. I mean, definitely it's better than, you know, when they started creating the shelters and everything in the 80s and in that movement, but I don't know, Randy. It is sad.
Do you think that drug problem that's swept across our country with all the fentanyl and all the drugs and everything, you think that's played a part in it with folks getting addicted to drugs, doing stuff that they might not do otherwise?
It makes survivors, it makes it harder for them to leave. So it's an issue of power and control. So an abuser wants to control somebody else. So if they can control their behavior through giving them drugs, if they're a drug user, or if, you know, they limit the money that they have, or they isolate them from people that they know, they can control their behavior. So whatever works, it doesn't always result in violence, but a lot of times, you know, that's who we see when there has been violence. But that manipulation and control is the whole thing. So it's not as much an anger thing, it's a control thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people who use substances are involved in the domestic violence system, either as an abuser or a victim, but I don't know that we can blame it on that, at least not entirely.
It's difficult, isn't it, to, once you got that person that's in that situation, to try to get them to break that cycle and get out, right?
It is.
And so you've got all kinds of programs, and talk about some of those. You got a lot of agencies that are part of the Family Justice Center that work with you. Talk about some of those and the things that you've got to offer inside the Justice Center.
Well, the Family Justice Center is really sort of an umbrella. So there were people doing this work before the Family Justice Center opened, like Genesis House.
But they were scattered all over the city and different places they had to go.
So our goal is sort of make their jobs easier and have everybody work more streamlined. So we have a coordinated community response to domestic violence, where we have meetings and discuss issues about safety and offender accountability. DA's office is a big part of that, too. And then Genesis House provides so many services for victims. You don't have to be going to the safe home. You know, there are other services that they have. So if somebody comes into the Family Justice Center, then we're the ones who greet them and navigate, or they're called navigators, our staff. And if, you know, we navigate them through the system, but a big part of that is connecting them with partners. Genesis House is usually the first. If they need food or clothing, some people just want to move back to be with their family. And so we try to find assistance for that. And a lot of local churches are really helpful in that as well. So some people, you know, need the safe home, and then they have those support services there as well. But we also help them with legal aid. We can refer to legal aid if, you know, they have an order of protection and they need representation, or if they need a divorce, we can do that. We often have law enforcement, if it's requested by the client, to come over to the Family Justice Center to take a report or to do an interview because they feel more comfortable at the Family Justice Center. So that's a way that we work with law enforcement as well. We also sometimes coordinate the service of, you know, whether it's the OP or something else.
And you even involved with restraining orders. And I mean, the number one thing is to make sure that that person is not being harmed anymore, right?
Right. That's what our goal is, victim safety and offender accountability. If we have to, that's what we got.
Yeah. And y'all do a great job with everyone that's part of the Family Justice Center. And I think having these months, like October being awareness month, to raise that awareness in the community, I think a lot of us that we live in great homes and great families, Liz, and we don't have those issues, and it's easy for us to get our blinders on, isn't it, and get in our own little world and not see a lot of these things that are going on around us?
Very much so. This, working in this position has been a huge eye-opener for me, because, you know, maybe I just live in my own little happy bubble, but, you know, it's out there, and it's very eye-opening.
Talking about October, it's being Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's a reality. It's happening not only here in Putnam County, but in our country and around the world. But thankfully, we've got what's called the Family Justice Center that helps victims of domestic violence. And we're going to talk more with Amy and Liz when we come back. We've got to take a break. Stay with us.
And now, back to Today in Putnam County, hosted by Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter.
Welcome back to Today in Putnam County. I'm your host, County Mayor Randy Porter. This week's show, it's about domestic violence, which is something that is terrible and it's hard to talk about, but it's a reality that we have in our community and all across the nation and the world. Thankfully, here in Putnam County and in the Upper Cumberland, we have what's called the Family Justice Center. It's one-stop shopping for victims of abuse that they can go to and get help from a whole group of services that are here in Putnam County. My guests this week are Amy McBroom and Liz Shanks. They're with the Family Justice Center. Amy is the executive director, and Amy, we were talking about earlier, 10 years since we opened the Family Justice Center. Your dad, Doug McBroom, county executive for many years, was my boss for many years. So shout out to them. Hope they're doing well. Thanks for having been on the show and doing what you do. So we were talking earlier about the Family Justice Center and it being a one-stop shop. Let's tell people that they may be listening, they may have family that is in situations that need help. How do they contact the Family Justice Center? How does it go about?
So we try to be accessible as we can. So you can call and discuss your problem or issue over the phone, or if you just want to see what services are available. So that number is 931-528-1512. And also we have a website that you can contact us through as well. And it's UC and then familyjusticecenter.org. And we're located at 269 South Willow Avenue, Suite E.
If you've got someone that's needing help, that's looking to get out of a situation, they're afraid, totally confidential when they come to you.
Right.
You're going to help them and take care of them and offer all kinds of services, right? Even from getting them to a place, a safe place, a place for them to live. The whole shebang, right?
We just try to take everybody that comes in and meet them with whatever. It's very client oriented, so we're going to let them decide which resources they want. But we still have things that we've worked out even after 10 years that we're like, oh, well, that was the first time we've had that situation. And a lot of people aren't leaving when they come in.
Yeah.
They're coming in to do their, preparation and planning.
Getting
sometimes.
Ready,
and I think that's really important, especially when there are kids involved. And it's a really dangerous situation leaving. So we understand that. And safety planning is central to everything that we do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Just looking at some of the stats, they're a little bit staggering to think about the visits and everything that you have. Go over some of those stats and the folks that you serve.
Well, last year, so for 24-25, we had 856 client visits.
Wow.
So somebody may come in more than one time, but 335 of those were new clients that had never been to the Family Justice Center in the last 10 years. Those are always the ones that surprise me. But the numbers were actually a little bit lower than last year. So we don't know what that means.
We don't know if
we don't know.
Domestic violence is going down or just fewer people coming in to.
And we had a really big year the year before. So, it's hard to know, but that's just for Putnam County. So we have two locations, as you know. We also have one in Livingston. So total visits were 1,418.
And it's sad to think that there's that many people that are involved in these kind of situations, Liz, but it also makes you thankful that we've got a place that these folks can come to and get help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're just, like you said, a one-stop shop, and we will help you all we can and just love you through it.
So did COVID, we weren't locked down much here. How did that affect it? Did it make it worse with people being off from work and stuff and being around each other more? Or did you see a difference?
We didn't see a decline. So I think that's interesting because you think that maybe people wouldn't have, called us for help during COVID because, it limited a lot of the things that people could do. But we started doing things differently during COVID to try to, make sure that we were accessible to people if they needed us. I think it may have affected that next year, so that 2023, 2024, the year that we had an abnormally high number of client visits, I think that could be.
Was kind of playing off of COVID.
I believe so. But now, I can't prove it. But.
Yeah. Let's talk about senior abuse. That's an issue, too, that we're seeing where families or workers in homes and stuff abusing our elder. I mean, that just makes you sick to think of that. I mean, abuse in any situation is bad. A lot of these situations with the elderly, they can't help themselves. They can't get out of the situations they're in. You're seeing that now?
They're especially vulnerable. So that does. We have very few clients that identify as an elder abuse victim, and there's a lot of reasons for that. So the instruments are the same. It's usually a family member. It can be a caregiver. And I know that the DA's office does a lot to charge those crimes and for there to be that accountability. The elderly person does not want to either identify themselves as a victim, doesn't want to, they don't want to cause any commotion because they're afraid that, you know, they may not have the independence that they have in their life now. So even if it's bad, at least they're not sent to a home, you know. So that's not the only option. Yeah. And I think that as you get, you know, as you grow older, you're more vulnerable. And I think that, you know, I mean, having your life changed in that way would be really scary. So I think it's hard for them to report it. Usually the reports we get for elder abuse are a family member that's found out about it.
Wow. And in the society that we live in, there's a whole group of bad people out there trying to take advantage of our elderly, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're succeeding at it, too.
Yeah. And at least you see that all the time, scamming folks. I knew of a case recently where this lady got scammed out of over $100,000 of them telling her something that was just, and she believed it, but it was totally untrue. And so it's not just about, that abuse can look a lot of different ways, can it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sad to think that people actually take advantage of elderly like that, but unfortunately, they do.
It's out there.
We have so many. I mean, we had this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but there's always a grandson or a son that's living with a parent. The elderly parent wants them to get out of the house, but at the same time, they don't want their, you know, son, grandson, granddaughter to be charged with anything. Yeah. And then they get them out of the house, but then they feel like they need to support them because they've gotten them out of the house and they feel bad about that. So it's really emotionally fraught. I mean, this is somebody that you love, even if they're abusing you. That's similar to
put up with a lot of stuff with your family members, especially kids and grandkids that that you probably shouldn't. And when you're in those situations, I'm sure it's hard to give up on that person and say, you know, you've got to go, or you need to be arrested, or you need to be charged. That's tough.
Now, the substance abuse and drug abuse really affects the elder abuse.
See that a lot, don't we? Yeah, grandkids and kids and stuff on drugs and abusing them by stealing their money, taking advantage of them to get money to get more drugs and so forth. Yeah. That's a tough thing. We got a couple minutes left. I want to talk again and make everybody aware, Liz, about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So that's October.
Yes.
And that gives us that's supposed to wake us up, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To make us realize that this is going on out there, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah, we just need to bring awareness to it. And that's why we set, you know, Purple Thursday is October the 23rd. So wear your purple just to bring awareness to it. People are, why are you wearing purple? Well, today is Domestic Violence Awareness, you know, or Purple Thursday. We have some local businesses that are also joining with us. And we have the Wired Coffee Shop in Livingston. Of course, we have our office in Livingston. They're doing purple drinks, the Levin Oak in Cookeville. We also have Livingston Nutrition, and then Jamie's Eats and Sweets and Heavenly Bites by Cora. They're doing purple cupcakes just to bring that awareness to October.
That's making me hungry for
it. Oh, yeah, I'm just thinking. hey, Jamie, if you're watching, bring us a couple cupcakes over here. And y'all going to be doing a lot of social media and different types of media to make everybody aware of this. And that's the whole idea, and aim it is to bring everybody, put it in your mind and make you aware so you're watching for situations. Too, right?
That can be definitely beneficial. And we also want to support the survivor. So a survivor, the isolation is the best technique you can use as an abuser. But so that they don't feel the shame around this. This isn't their fault. This is not anything that they chose. They didn't have any power over these decisions, but you feel that shame. So we want to, as a community, say, hey, we recognize through Domestic Violence Awareness Month, even though we do this all the time, but you know, that we support you and we understand that you may be in a bad situation, but once you can get that out of the dark, you know, the domestic violence, if somebody can admit that they're a victim, then that's their way to freedom.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we shine a light
that's
on that.
That's the key.
Too.
I was thinking the same thing, is shining a light on it.
Yeah. Thank you for helping us do that.
Well, absolutely. And the Family Justice Center is a great asset that we have here in Putnam County and in Upper Cumberland. And thank you both for what you're doing. And Amy, you've been in it since the beginning. I remember when you brought this up. And
you've been in it with me.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was kind of an eye opener when I first came in office that wait a minute, we need a family justice center. And you started telling me all the things that were happening. I think, wow, this is something we really need. And Liz, we're glad to have you on board. And
thank you for having me.
You're a great asset that's been added to the family justice center.
And thank you for having us.
Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you so much.
You're listening today in Putnam County. Stay with us. We got another segment coming up. We're going to talk with Diane Callahan at Heart of the Cumberland. We got to take a break, though. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Today in Putnam County, hosted by Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter.
Welcome back to Today in Putnam County. I'm your host, County Mayor Randy Porter. This next segment is on one of our great nonprofits here in Putnam County, and that's Heart of the Cumberland. They deal with grief, loss of loved ones, and so forth. And this nonprofit, Diane Callahan's my guest today, and it's just amazing at the group sessions and all the many things that you do for our community for folks that are grieving. Lost loved ones, it can be children, it can be adults. There's no end to it. And your organization helps folks deal with that grief, right, Diane?
Yes, we have, Randy, community groups for all ages, and then we have best groups in the schools for starting at second grade and through middle school. And we could do the high school, but due to scheduling issues, we've not been able to do that. Best groups at this time in Putnam County Schools, we have 500 students in our groups and 50 sessions going on. Putnam County Schools, they hire and pay for the lead facilitators, and then we give them volunteers and also the curriculum. But those kids are dealing with parents in jail, parents deployed, divorce, foster care. You know, it's not just a certain type of child like that. It doesn't have anything to do so much with economics. I know one young girl, she could never sleep at night because her dad was deployed.
Yeah.
And then there are people or kids that their parents are divorced and they're living with one parent or they're living with a grandparent. So we have 11 sessions in the fall and in the spring. It's drug prevention at the core. It's helping people not have mental illness. Mm-hmm. Dealing with their emotions, we help give them positive ways and tools to use to deal with those emotions, beginning at second grade.
See, it's all free. I mean, what y'all are doing, you're a nonprofit. You're doing this all out of the goodness of your heart. We help those kids because I was just thinking about moms and dads being deployed in the military. That's something you might not think that much about, how that's affecting the children with that separation anxiety. So it's not just the loss of loved ones through death, but it's all kinds of things, the way families get separated today. I mean, our divorce rates are high. You've got kids that are being shuffled back between one family and another on a regular basis, and it can affect those children in a way that sometimes, if we're not careful, we may not see. But your organization is watching for that, and you're trying to help those children to work through that. I mean, I just think that's amazing what y'all do.
Thank you. I'm so thankful we're in the schools. Kids today are under so much stress for so many reasons, like you said. In community groups, it's just for the loss by death, and it's for all ages, families. But just to refer back to these emotional problems that kids grow up dealing with, our suicide group is growing the fastest of any group, and that is families and individuals that someone they loved have committed suicide. You know, and I hate to even come out of my mouth, but we've had a couple of young people,
yeah,
not so much
in the
past
last few days
that have, you know, due to bullying and that. But our community groups is free of charge. Once again, there's 11 sessions, and then we have group support over holidays in the fall, in the spring, and in the summer. We have our program going, and they're just growing. We're growing to meet the needs,
yeah,
of the grieving.
Well, our county's growing. We live in such a fast-paced lifestyle anymore, Diane, and so many things out there that that can hurt families. I mean, drugs is a big one.
Yeah.
You hit on it with some of these children, their mom and dad are in jail or in prison for drugs, or mom or dad may have died from drug overdoses or all kinds of things. The drugs in our society has just really caused and created havoc.
And you don't know how these kids are receiving that,
yeah,
because they tell us that they think all that's happening is their fault and their responsibility. And if they'd be better and if they would act better, maybe that'd help mom, or I shouldn't tell on my dad because then I won't get to see him anymore. So not just going to school to learn, they're carrying heavy loads into school. And I don't know how they do as well as they do sometimes. So I'm so thankful again that we're in the schools with this curriculum, with this love, with this care for these children, helping them deal with their emotions.
Absolutely. You're a nonprofit. Donations is the way that you operate.
Yes.
And our community is a great community.
Yes.
And donating to our nonprofits to make sure you're taken care of. Talk about, though, you have an annual banquet each year, and that's coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about our banquet this year. I have the invitation in front of me. It's called A Vision Unveiled, Moving Forward with Clarity and Purpose. This banquet is Tuesday, October the 28th at Central City Church. We have lunch at 12, and we have a dinner at 6. And if you're interested in this, just call us or get on our website. Just call me, Diane Callahan, and it's 525-2600, and say you'd like to go. There's no charge for it, and I promise you that you won't be bored and you won't have to stay too long. The program will be just about an hour, and this year, Randy, we are really demonstrating what we do by beginning with 8 people and 8 stories of grief, types of grief. And then we have people that's been through our program video that's telling what Heart of Cumberland did for them. And then we have our vision. I want everyone to know, and all real estate people out there, listen up. We want a building. We might build a building on land, but to meet our needs, our groups are growing. We're at 25 West Broad, the old Darwin Mall, with several rooms, but we have to borrow space.
You're growing. You need more space.
So we want to build in between 5,000 and 8,000 square feet. We've got money because of our donors. I am just so thankful that we have come to this place, that we're ready to make a deal. So help us.
And that's what this banquet is all about, is donating to Heart of the Cumberland and the great work they do. And I've been to a lot of these banquets with Diane. It will touch your heart to see what our children and folks are going through with some of this grieving process and the situations they're in. So it's October 28th, Central City Church. You need to go to lunch at noon. You can come there at 6 p.m. that night and help Heart of the Cumberland. Diane, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate what y'all do. We'll see you on the 28th.
Do we have one more minute?
We don't. We're out of time. I am so sorry.
I know, it's me too.
It's fast.
Well, Kim can have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to Today in Putnam County each week. We appreciate you, the listeners and the viewers, tuning in and watching us on YouTube and cable channel 192. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and may God continue to bless Putnam County.
You've been listening to Today in Putnam County, hosted by Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter.